The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Since being hired as Phillies manager in late October, Gabe Kapler has dedicated his days to getting to know his new players and learning everything he can about Philadelphia's sporting culture. I sat down with Kapler at the winter meetings, and we talked about his first few weeks on the job. Gabe, you've been on the job now 6 weeks. You're at your first winter meetings, but one thing that really strikes me about you from talking to you a little bit here and there is you really are like becoming a Philadelphian very fast. You seem to really like the city.
No doubt. And that was by design for me. I knew that I wanted to dive right into the city. So I had a choice, right? I could stay in Los Angeles and sort of commute back and forth, or I could really get to know the demographics of the city. I could get to know the restaurants and the small coffee shops and the sports teams. So I got to, you know, a Sixers game and a Flyers game. I really want to be a part of the fabric of the city rather than just a visitor. And I think that demonstrates my investment.
So you're already living in the city?
I am. Wow. I finally just signed a lease in Northern Liberties where I'm really excited to get settled and finally excited to get a home base rather than being in an Airbnb, which is basically what I've been in for the last 6 weeks, as you mentioned.
What kind of vibe of the city do you like the best?
I like the grit of it. You know, I've spent a lot of time walking. I've been doing a lot of walking in South Philadelphia. I found a cool little restaurant that I like going to called South House. I've been there like maybe five or six times now. And you can walk from the ballpark. It's like a 15-minute walk or so. So even if it's cold outside, it's nice to get a little bundled up and put on a scarf and a beanie and get to know the neighborhood.
Are you getting recognized at all by fans? Get any feedback?
Occasionally, but I've gotten nothing but support. The Philadelphia fans have been tremendous to me in a very welcoming way, just like the front office was when I came in for the interview process, and just like all the media has been. And I've always said that it's a collaboration, right, between the fans and the media and every department in a Major League Baseball operations organization. We all work together towards the same goal, which is to create a 10-year stretch of excellence here in Philadelphia for the Phillies.
You were over at the Sixers. You rang the bell. That's an ascending franchise, a team on the rise.
An exciting franchise.
No doubt. And you get the Eagles, an exciting team, great team. Are you able to get a feel for the city's fans on how bad they want it?
They want it so bad. I mean, the passion is obviously off the charts. I mean, just by the fact, like, I'm nobody, but, you know, a couple people recognize me on the streets. That just tells me how invested in the Phillies this city is, right? I mean, I don't think that happens in every city. I don't think the Atlanta Braves manager or whatever, I mean, I'm not pointing out just the Braves, but any manager across baseball is just going to walk down the street first couple weeks on the job and get so much love and support. It's been fantastic.
One really cool thing I learned about you is you were actually in right field at Veterans Stadium playing for the Tampa Bays?
I was with the Rockies at the
time. With the Rockies, yeah. When Chase Utley had his debut grand slam. What was that like?
You could just recognize, that this player was going to be special. There was a vibe in the stadium that day around Chase's debut. And obviously, I turned around and watched a ball go over my head for a grand slam, and I was on the opposing team. So I wasn't fully invested in what was happening with Chase at the time. But you knew that there was something special going on. And I could actually step out of my own shoes and put myself in a Philadelphia fan's shoes in the moment and get excited with that city.
You saw the first moment of a great career of maybe the most popular athlete ever in Philadelphia.
Right.
We were having
a
discussion.
Debate at lunch.
We had a great debate at lunchtime, and Gabe just wants to suck up so much knowledge about Philadelphia. He actually posed to some of the writers who was the most popular Philadelphia athlete ever.
And not the best Philadelphia athlete. It's an important distinction for us to continue to make. It's the most popular athlete, like you just presented it.
But why do you feel like it's important to grasp as much knowledge about the city you work in as possible?
Well, I mean, just circling back to the point of the most popular Philadelphia athlete, it's like, what are the attributes that this city wants to see in its guys? And that's true of the leaders, too. Like, what do you want to see? You want to see accountability. You want to see work ethic. You want to see drive. You want to see grit and determination. Those are all things that Chase brings to the table. He's not the only Philadelphia athlete that brought those things, but certainly a strong representation of how we want our players and our leaders to behave in this city.
One of these days, we're going to give Gabe a tutorial on Chuck Bednarik. I think it'll be great. I think you'd like him.
I've heard great things.
Moving on a little bit, you guys, so you're at your first winter meetings. You're constructing your roster. But you're also kind of now into a different chapter of your baseball career. You're rubbing elbows with Major League managers,
yes.
Mike Socia, who you grew up watching as a kid growing up in Southern California. Joe Maddon, who you played for. What's it like now to be part of that fraternity?
I think today I got a good feel for that, a good sense for it. I sat in the room with all of the other managers in baseball for our meeting. We were going over various things, but certainly to look across a room and see Joe Torre and Jim Leland and Tony La Russa and, you know, Mike Socia spoke up in the meeting and Aaron Boone was across the way. It's just like really good, young, talented managers, some really seasoned, spectacular Hall of Fame caliber managers, all in one space, sharing ideas. It was incredibly inspiring and very humbling. I walked out of that room going, whoa, I'm in a really special fraternity, feel very lucky right now.
Since taking the job, you've stressed communication and with your players and you're backing it up. You're flying everywhere, you're driving, you're talking on the phone to your players. You in the Dominican with Michael Franco, Luis Garcia, Hector Neris recently.
Incredible meetings.
I bet. What is the message you're trying to impart on these guys?
Mostly that I care and that we are invested as a team. And when I think about us together, I'm thinking about the team of coaches that we've assembled. And John Maley and Rob Thompson and Dusty Wath and all these guys that are collectively coming together to provide the foundation for these guys to build on. And it's not just the staff members, it's also the front office, and I've spoke to it at length, where we're all collaborating to build a really healthy environment for these players to thrive and develop. So, I mean, that's the message. Hey, you guys are going to get an incredible amount of support. We're going to love you, we're going to support you, and we're also going to challenge you, and we're going to raise the bar for you. And that's the part that's really important to me, that they know that they're going to get a balance, equal parts, support, raise the bar challenge, support, raise the bar challenge.
Mm-hmm. You met with Odubel Herrera, talented kid. At times, the hustle is not always there. I know you're a hustle guy. How are you going to deal with a guy like that when maybe he doesn't, you know, put out on a particular day?
Well, first and foremost, as it relates to Odubel, and I had a chance to spend some time with him and get to know him, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. I want to see Odubel Herrera with my own eyes. I want to see this guy perform on a daily basis. I want to see the work ethic and the drive that he brings to the table. And I can tell you, from my first meeting with him, it's in there. This is a guy who cares deeply about not just his own performance, but the performance of the team. So let's see. Let's see what we have in spring training before we jump to any conclusions about Odubel. I'm really excited to work with this young man.
He is immensely talented. One of the areas last year, last 35 games or so, that showed a ton of talent. In my mind, and really made coming to the ballpark, I think, for the team more exciting because they felt like they had a chance in those games was that bullpen, the last 35 games. They were very, very good. And here you are at the winter meetings, and now you guys are adding veterans. You know, what is the goal there in terms of kind of constructing that bullpen?
I think the goal is putting the bullpen pieces in the best positions to succeed. And that means exploiting matchups with the opposition. It means making sure that these guys are staying healthy, first and foremost. When our bullpen pieces go out to take the mound, we want them to be the 100% healthiest versions of themselves, mm-hmm. rather than beat up, fatigued versions of themselves, when then we can't even tap their talent. So just by way of example, Adam Morgan down the stretch last year was tremendous. I reached out to him and asked him, hey, like what separated year or the second half of your year versus the first half of year? He talked a little bit about conviction. He talked about pitching to his strengths and really attacking hitters. So finding out how to bring that out of our bullpen arms. And I think that it comes from, you know, putting them in good positions to succeed from a matchup perspective and putting them in good positions to succeed from a health, strength, and well-being perspective.
How much of your time the last 6 weeks has been spent really digging in to your personnel and your roster, you know, just beyond communicating with them, you know, looking at the film, looking at data, talking to people, learning exactly what these guys can do strength and weakness wise?
A great deal of my time has been spent learning about the strengths of our players. Right now, The weaknesses are less important, because what we really want to do is inspire confidence. You and I both know that if we get a confident man on the mound, or we get a confident man in the batter's box, or a confident man on defense when the ball's crossing the hitting zone, he's also going to be the most athletic version of himself. So how do we inspire that confidence? By showing these guys what they do well. So my research has been about, like, what is this guy good at? What is Odubel Herrera good at? What is Michael Franco good at? What is Cesar Hernandez good at? And then really honing in on those things and preparing to show them, let them know in spring training. Not just me, but a group of coaches that know these guys' strengths.
As you have dug down into your personnel, have you been able to kind of come to a thinking in your mind of how far away this team might be from being, you know, a legitimate contender for the NL East flag?
We can think about one thing, and that is we want to win every single day. And as I think about the strengths of our roster, we have a young developing core that if we turn up the dial just one notch from a development perspective, so if everybody on this roster that won a lot of games in the second half gets a little bit better, I can see us being a strong contender in 2018. And that's the only expectation we're going to have. We're coming into 2018 believing that we can win a World Series, and our expectation is to win every single game.
You're already thinking about your opening remarks when you open camp in spring training?
Every day.
Really?
And I'm not going to talk about what those remarks are going to be.
You're already thinking about it.
Of course. I go to bed thinking about it, and I wake up thinking about it. And I think that's the beautiful thing about being in this position, one of these coveted positions around baseball. It's all you think about every single day. It wakes you up in the middle of the night. You wake up thinking about it. You know, you can't wait to get to work next day. And right now, I can't wait to get to spring training.
Well, we talked about getting to know Philadelphia and getting in touch with the fans. You know, one of the great traditions in Philadelphia sports is Quick Six on PST.
Can't wait. Let's roll.
Did you know that?
Of
I think
course.
You've already participated once.
Yeah.
So we're going to go at you again. Quick Six, 15 seconds per answer. Give me your A game. You ready?
On. A game coming.
What is the coolest thing you've done so far in Philly?
I think I took a walk, tried to make it all the way back from the ballpark to Center City in a walk. Now, I ended up in an Uber at the end of the ride because it got really, really cold. But I got to see some really interesting locations in South Philly, which I loved.
Nice. Good. Just like Rocky. I think he ran through South Philly. But
yeah.
What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Can I go gelato? I'm going to go gelato.
I think let me ask, can we go gelato? Yes, we can.
Salted caramel.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice choice.
Yeah, you know, a little
solid choice.
A little sweet and a little saltiness, like coarse sea salt. Excellent.
I think that was a good choice. Growing up, who was your favorite baseball player?
My first favorite baseball player of all time was Pete Rose.
Good one.
But remember, I was from Southern California, Los Angeles kid, bouncing all over the map. I fell in love with the Blue Jays and went quickly to George Bell.
Good one.
And then from George Bell, I went to Fred McGriffin.
George Bell was your favorite player at one point.
He's my favorite. My first favorite outfielder was George Bell.
A former Phillies farmhand.
Oh, wow.
And the Blue Jays of Pat Gillick, GM, snuck in and plucked him out of the Phillies farm system in the Rule 5 draft.
Feels like a good pluck.
Well, a very good pluck. Became an MVP, George Bell. What is your number one pet peeve?
My number one pet peeve is lack of determination. So people who quit, you know, they fall down and they can't get back up. Or, you know, look, I'm empathetic to their position, but from my perspective, it's a characteristic that I love in a human being. Get beat up, fall down, stand back up, and try again.
Wow, it sounds like Rocky Balboa. How about, you know, what's it going to be like now that Giancarlo Stanton is out of the NL East? How happy are you?
Look, I'm really happy for the Yankees and really happy for the Phillies, man. We avoided a lot of dangerous confrontations.
All right, we all know that you're a workout demon. Who on that Phillies roster do you think can bench press more than you?
This is an easy one. It's Bob Stumpo, one of our
bullpen coach.
One of our bullpen leaders, man. This guy's an animal. He sent me a picture with a pine tree over his head. So
wow, he's a big.
It wasn't a big pine tree, you know, like a Christmas tree, but still very impressive.
Bob Stumpo, a former Westchester University Golden Ram. Gabe, I think you succeeded. He gets the prize for a pick six, gets a home version of the game.
Oh,
it'll arrive in the mail real soon. Thank you very much for being
with
us. Hey, I hope you enjoyed my chat with Gabe Kapler as much as I did. I'm Jim Salisbury. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time at The Yard.